Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Enjoy a conversation with a popular Dominican preacher. Stay tuned.
You'll have heard of him, no doubt. He's an award-winning writer, but above all, a preacher, who's very much in demand these days. You may have guessed he's the former Master General of the Dominican Order, Timothy Radcliffe. I must say I was privileged enough to sit down with him between lectures here in Rome, in the very place St. Dominic once walked, Santa Sabina on the Aventine Hill, enjoying a rather informal chat, during which I began by asking him how he wanted to be introduced to you. Let's listen.
I'm an itinerant preacher, or as some of my brethren say, a perambulating windbag. I still spend about 8 months a year travelling, preaching, lecturing, giving retreats. I come home occasionally to wash my clothes and prepare for my next trip.
Being a preacher today isn't always an easy task. The word preaching in the past used to have sort of very noble connotations. Today, perhaps, when one says, oh, stop preaching, or practice what you preach, that sort of thing. Do you find it difficult to belong to the order of preachers today?
Yes and no. It's certainly true that people assume that if you're preaching, you're talking at people. You're not talking with them. And ideally, I think that the first thing that any preacher does is to listen. You arrive, you hear how people talk, you hear what concerns them, and you try to understand, if you want, their whole way of speaking and thinking and being, and then you will know better how to share the Word of God with them. So it can be slightly difficult being an itinerant preacher, because you turn up and you talk often before you've got to know people, and that's a challenge. But I think, on the other hand, there is a tremendous thirst for the Word of God. And even people who don't believe, even people who are quite hardened against religion, are often quite keen to engage in a conversation.
People are ready to believe, in a sense, aren't they? In fact, people turn to other religions, Eastern religions. For some reason, the Christian message doesn't seem to come across so well today. It doesn't seem so exciting to people, does it? So how would you make that exciting?
I think that's very often because people think that they know what Christianity is about. When they don't, and so one of the first things we have to try to do is to disclose its freshness. I've been studying the Bible, I suppose, pretty continuously for about 45 years. And one of the things that astonishes me is it's always fresh. Every time I have to preach and I look at a text which perhaps I've preached on 20 times, I'm always surprised. There's always something new. So I think part of what you want to do is to share with your hearers your sense of surprise. That it's always new. God is always new.
God is always new, but people are really interested in their own experience, you know, today. They look very much inwards. It's yourself for yourself. That's the culture we live in, isn't it, in the 21st century?
I think that's largely true. It's very concerned with the subjective. And what we have to do is, at the same time, acknowledge a concern with somebody's own subjective experience, what they live through, to let them tell their story. But, of course, always the excitement of faith is that you're invited to discover something objective, something which is true throughout the ages. Something which liberates you from self-absorption. Because ultimately, if you remain completely self-absorbed, then you're stuck in a boring little prison of yourself. And so part of the excitement of faith is being liberated into this larger world of other people, and ultimately, of course, the larger world of God.
I'd like to go back to something that Pope Benedict said at the inauguration mass, which I think is rather interesting, particularly for priests. He invites the pastor to be inspired by Christ's holy zeal.
La santa inquietudine di Cristo deve animare il pastore. Per lui non è indifferente che tanti.
For him, it is not a matter of indifference that so many people are living in the desert. There are so many kinds of desert. There is the desert of poverty, the desert of hunger and thirst, the desert of abandonment, of loneliness, of destroyed love.
Dell'amore distrutto.
There is the desert of God's darkness, the emptiness of souls, no longer aware of their dignity or the goal of human life. The external deserts in the world are growing because the internal deserts have become so vast.
Perché i deserti interiori sono diventati così ampi?
Would you agree with that? That the internal deserts have become so vast?
I think it's brilliantly put. I think to make that link, if you want, between the ecological challenge of a world with growing deserts with the internal deserts is brilliant. And I think often, you know, what's most oppressive for people is to be caught in a world of banality. It's the trivialization of so much experience. Every one of us lives through traumatic and extraordinary events of birth and death, of suffering, of falling in love. And what the gospel offers is a way into these, which is in contrast with the banalization which is so apparent in our own society.
How do people experience prayer in today's world?
I think there are two elements in prayer, and they're both important. Some people will go more for one, some for another. I think that prayer involves both listening and speaking. It involves both silence and petition. Those are the two fundamental elements, and they will lead on to the third, which is praise. So I think that the beginning of all prayer is actually learning to listen. Now, sometimes before we can be attentive to God, before we can have that real silence in our center, that expectancy of a word, then we need to do a lot of talking with God. Perhaps we want to complain or get angry with God or ask God for things. And sometimes it's only after we've done this, which is so important, that we can then pause and listen. And I think there's a tremendous desire for silence. Very often people are frightened of silence, which means that often they have to begin with short moments of silence. If you put many people into a room and say, you've got to be silent now for half an hour, it would seem like a day and terrifying. So you start by offering people maybe even 5 minutes of silence, little tastes of it. And finally, you come to love it. When I became a Dominican novice, I used to dread the half hour of silent meditation. And I was always surreptitiously sort of looking at my watch and seeing how far we'd gone. And I was convinced I would burp or something and disturb all the brethren. But it took me years to actually just come to enjoy it. Now I look forward to it.
Why did you become a Dominican?
Above all, I fell in love with the motto of the order, Veritas, truth. When I was at school, I was always one of the bad boys, you know. I used to smoke behind the cricket pavilion and I knew the quickest pub you could get to, you know, where you could have a safe drink without being caught by the masters. And when I left school, for the first time, I got to know people who weren't Catholic or who weren't Christian. And the big question is it true? Is it true? And I became obsessed by this question. And then I remembered from my distant Benedictine past that there was an order which had the motto, truth. And I thought, now I must find them.
And a big thank you there to Dominican preacher and former Master General of his order, Timothy Radcliffe.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening.